So today we are, as I said, shifting gears, but I did want to write some formulas in the blackboard just in case there is any question, and just so we have the formulas here when we will encounter them today from a different point of view. And so what did we compute? We studied the probability of being at a distance r after t steps, and we saw that if we compute this generating function that we define, use this notation g, then this generating function behaves like this. We computed it exactly when we just jump to the nearest neighbors in a cubic lattice. At large distances, much bigger than the lattice spacing, it's like this. And at even larger distances, much bigger than the correlation length, it decays exponentially. And we also saw that if we write a generating function of closed loops, so we write a sum over all possible closed loops then because a closed loop can start at any position in length n, we divide by n, and because it can have both orientations, we divide by an extra 2. So this would be a generating function of closed loops. Sorry, I would multiply here also by 2d to the n, which is the total number of loops. That's just definition. Then, with this definition, we would get that the free energy is some volume factor, and then 1/2 of the integral of a log of a constant plus another constant times the sum of cosines. Okay, and let me just make a comment that we start here in this exact formulation with a Brillouin zone. And I said that when r is very large, we get this expression where we integrate over rd. And this is not a typo. This is correct. Okay? Why is this correct? Why is this not a typo? Why? The proper question is rather, why can I replace the Brillouin zone by this full region? Why there is no issue in just enlarging the domain of integration?
Because the integrand is anyway is vanishing.
Exactly. Because unless Q is very small, when R is huge, Q needs to be of order 1 over R to give a finite contribution. So any Qs, even pi over 2, pi over 3, I don't know, all the Qs, even close to the boundary of the Brillouin zone are already not contributing. So we can just extend to infinity. Just that contribution is irrelevant anyway. Another way of saying is that if you remember, the Brillouin zone, if I think in terms of lattice spacing, this pi is secretly pi divided by 1, where 1 is the lattice spacing. So going to large distances is like making that 1 go to 0, right? And then pi over 1 goes to infinity, right?
So what's the argument that it would be 0 for a large Q, or?
Yes, you have a very oscillating thing. Okay. Okay. Cool. So today we study what is called the Gaussian spin model, which is a model where we have some lattice. So we have a lattice, say Z to the D lattice. Right, so an integer in each dimension. I'm drawing two dimensions here. And at a given site R, R is a site, at each site there is a spin that depends on the position R, which is a real number. Okay? So we go from it's a generalization of the Ising model where Si at a given site was plus minus 1, now we go to any real number. It can be minus 10, plus 10, minus 5, plus 5, it can be any continuum level. Okay? We could ask ourselves, is it a huge difference? Is it similar? Is it very different or not? And we will see. Okay, so that's the spin. So what is the Hamiltonian? What's the energy for a given configuration? Well, I just have a spin at position r. And it could interact with a spin at position r prime. And the interaction matrix, let's call it A of r and r prime. And conventionally we put a 1/2 because we will sum over R and R prime, and we can swap them, and we don't, and we want to get just one contribution, and we sum over R and R prime. Okay, so this tells me that A measures the interaction between two spins. A. So in our mind, so for most, sometimes we don't need to specify A, but if we want to have an example in mind, a natural example would be to say that, for example, A, the most natural thing is, first of all, let's assume that it depends only on the difference, right? There is some translation invariance. There's no special point on this letter. And what could this be? It could be, for example, there could be some energy cost, maybe a penalty, maybe an enhancement. Let's say it's an energy cost, U positive. When this separation, when R minus R prime equal to zero. Okay. And there could be, I don't know if normally we define with minus or with plus. Let me see. I think with minus. No, here with plus. Okay. Plus some constant that would be an interaction, for example, between nearest neighbors. That would be when R minus R prime, when the separation is equal to 1, I would measure this term. Okay? So this would be the energy at site, would measure energy at site R, and this is some interaction between nearest neighbors. And it's also called a hopping term. When you have an interaction term that connects the two nearest neighbors. Okay. And so, what is our model? Our model is very simple. You just take this Hamiltonian and you sum over all configurations. So our partition function that we want is the integral for each spin, so I make product over all R in my lattice. Okay? Or more generally, R, yeah, let's write, R belonging to the lattice. Okay? We'll specify what the lattice is in a moment. Let's not make it infinite, let's make it finite. For each of them, we integrate dsr, right? So we just integrate exponential of minus this Hamilton. That's what we want to compute. And then expectation values of, say, spin at zero with spin at R, right? This would be equal to 1 over Z, the integral of the same thing with an S of zero, S of R here. So this is the Gaussian model. Okay? Any question here? Okay. So let's specify the lattice. Let's say that R equal to I, J, whatever, some components. And then let's say that this I is takes values 1 up to L. So the lattice, there would be L to the D sites. And let's assume that let's put periodic boundary conditions. So, let's put periodic boundary conditions, right? So, this is 1, this is L, right? L plus 1 is identified with just being 1, right? In all directions. Okay, so how do we solve this model? What should we do? to try to solve this model. So that's the definition, that's some spin model. This A, this is an example again, but what I'm going to use, what's key for all the discussion, is that it's a function of the difference. The fact that it is this function of the difference is not so important. Okay? So let's assume, so here is what we should have in mind. Assume A equal to some function of the difference, r minus r prime. And let's also assume, but this is not important, this one, but I want to assume that, to have in mind, that A is not equal to zero for some nearby sites and zero otherwise. Now, nearby sites, it doesn't mean that they need to be the nearest neighbors. It could be nearest neighbors, next to nearest neighbors, but there is some finite set of neighbors, right? So we could add some extra terms, t2 times separation equal to 2, plus t3 times separation equals square root of 2. Why square root of 2? The diagonal, right? Plus t3, square root of 3, right? In the cube, and so on, right? So there could be some, that doesn't need to be neighbors, next to nearest neighbor, like in the example I gave, but let's assume that we have like this. Okay. This one is, this second one is not really going to be used, actually, but we will see. So because we have this periodic boundary conditions, and because we are in a lattice, it's very convenient to introduce Fourier decomposition, right? Whenever we have translation invariants, we go to Fourier. So let's go to Fourier. Let's write the expression in terms of Fourier. So let's be careful. So S at R is equal to some normalization that we are going to work out times the summation over momentum Q. S with, let's put some hat because it's Fourier transform. Let's put some label for Q. It could be an argument or a label, doesn't matter. E to the I Q dot R. Okay, and now let's think a bit about what are these Qs. And so the statement is that the Q is a vector that contains Qx, Qy, etc. Depends on the number of dimensions. And these guys are just 2 pi nx over L, right? Because we are in this periodic lattice. So in particular, nx, right? We are periodizing. We have periodic boundary conditions. So e to the iq times l equal to 1. And therefore, these nx are just integers. And these integers can be 0, 1, etc. all the way to l minus 1. Right? Which means that Qx lives in a value 0 to 2 pi, right? There is a periodic identification. More than 2 pi, it's the same thing, right? If I shift Q by 2 pi, I'm doing nothing because r are integers, right? The radius is an integer. So you shift by 2 pi, exponential of a vector of integers plus 2 pi is nothing, right? So they are identified with 2 pi. And because they are periodic, the momenta come out quantized, right? Is it clear? And now this is, Q is in this interval. It's equivalent. We can just shift because there is this 2 pi identification. So, or we can also choose this nx to be, I subtract L over 2, so to go from minus L over 2 all the way to L over 2. And here we are implicitly assuming L over 2 to be an integer, right? So we are assuming L to be even, otherwise it doesn't make sense, subtract L over 2. But L is very big, so it can be an integer. And in that case, this Q, X, would be in the more conventional Brillouin zone between minus pi and pi. Okay? Good. So again, notice that, as we were saying, so let's see that S, right, at some position R plus L times, say, 1, 0, 0, right, equal to S of R. That's periodicity, and it's built in, right, because Q's are 2 pi n over L, so when I shift by L in my expression, indeed, it's periodic, so that quantizes the momentum, right? That's the condition that sets this, is what sets this condition, right? And S being a real number, S of R being a real number, implies we are going to, let's work in this convention where we sum over positive and negative Qs. It implies that S, when the momenta is with minus Q, is equal to S of Q conjugate. Right? Now we are using this choice. It's our choice. Right? And then when I conjugate S, the positive and negative Fourier modes are such that one is complex conjugate of the other, and so the result is real. And so that's our reality condition. Finally, notice that either here or here, doesn't matter in both cases, there are L values, right? L possible values. And that makes total sense because we had L sides. Of course, we cannot miss degrees of freedom by going to Fourier. So before we had L to the D positions, now we have L to the D Fourier modes, right? L per direction. So everything is okay. We are not doing any mistake, right? L values for the direction X, in other words, L to the D in total, as before. When we said we have L to the D sides, right? Which we wrote somewhere. Yeah, L to the D sides there. Okay, so now, what about N? N, we are doing a change of basis, right? And so it is natural to consider a change of basis that doesn't change the scalar product, so that we have some we think of S as some kind of vector, and we are doing a rotation of that vector from S R to S of Q. It's a linear change of basis, right? It's a linear change of basis, Fourier, right? We go from S of R to S of Q. So it's very natural to want to preserve the norm. Now, this is our definition. We don't need to do it, but it's convenient. Right? It's a natural convenient normalization for several reasons. But one, which is obvious, is that when you undo a rotation that doesn't change the norm, it has unit Jacobian, then you don't need to worry about Jacobians. So that's a practical advantage. Okay? So let's fix N such that the norm is unchanged because we don't like Jacobians. Right? And that means that the summation over R of S of R square, that's what we would call the norm, right? Because we have a vector S, we dot it with itself, we get S square. Right? So what is this? This is equal, let's compute this. This is equal to n squared, right? And then each s is a sum over q. So we have sum over q prime, and the original sum that was there, sum over r, right? One sum is here, and then I'm writing s in Fourier. And then I have s hat q prime, and then e to the I q plus q prime times r. Now notice that r only enters here and here, so I can explicitly bring the sum over r here and do the sum over r, right? And the sum over r, when I do the sum over r, what do we get, right? So we sum over r, which are we sum over r, these guys are integers, right? So what will happen? So suppose this combination is not zero. If this combination is not zero, right, we are going to do something like, let me write here the formula. Sum over n e to the I n. So I'm summing over integer over I n q from n equal 1 up to the length, or n up to going from 0 up to the length. This is proportional to 1 minus e to the I l n. Sum over x, the position. Let me fix. Qx. Right, I'm doing the sum over one of the components just to illustrate. But this is zero because q is 2 pi n over l, right? So this is equal to zero, right? Since q is just 2 pi n over l. So we conclude that the sum over r gives zero, right? Unless, what can happen? Unless q plus q prime is zero, right? But if q plus q prime is not zero, I'm done, it's zero. And when it is zero? When it is zero, this is one, and I sum, and I get L. Right? By the way, probably L minus
one. It's L minus one.
Okay, so this is just, when it's zero, I get L. So this is L delta QX comma zero. And for us, then this, therefore, these two terms, they give volume, which is just L to the D, right? Times Kronecker delta of Q plus Q prime, it must be equal to zero. So the momenta must be opposite. But then, because the momenta are just opposite to each other, right? The sum over Q prime. Now, this sum over q prime is trivial, right? So it just set, you can just remove the sum and set q prime equal to minus q, right? Because the sum over q prime just sets q prime to be equal to minus q. And therefore, this expression, I get n squared times the volume times summation over q, the plus sum that remains, and then I get s of q times s of minus q, but we saw that this is nicely just the absolute value of s of q squared, because s minus q is the conjugate of s of q. Right? And so this would be the norm in Fourier, so the natural normalization. So for us, let's define n to be 1 over square root of the volume. Then we see that summing over positions is summing over Fourier, right? Without any Jacobians, any factors. that's convenient. So that's what we are going to do. Yeah?
Can you explain that condition once again? That you wrote S of R plus...
This is periodicity. It's I take a point.
Yeah.
I shift by L units in any direction.
That's the period, okay.
This is just a period, right? And I must go back. That's this identification. Okay, so now that we have introduced Fourier, well normalized, with the right momenta, let's... Let's write the action. Or in that, in this language, what we call H. So H... We just insert, for S, we insert the Fourier modes. So how many sums will we have in total? How many?
Three.
No?
Four.
Four, right? We have R. We have R prime. We have, for one of them, we use Q. For the other, S. Let's use the variable Q prime. And then let's just write S of R is, so then let's put here some volume because we have two S's and each of them comes with a normalization N, but N is 1 over square root of V. So we put here a volume. And then I have S Q, S Q prime. And then A of R and R prime that we know is actually A that only depends on the difference R minus R prime. Yeah, times the exponential, good. Times e to the I q r plus I q prime r prime. Now, because it only depends on the difference, it's convenient to take this exponential and decompose it into the center of mass position and the relative distance. So we can write this exponential as exponential of I, and then we can write the sum of r's, r plus r prime, that's multiplying q plus q prime. And we can write the difference r minus r prime that will be multiplying the difference q minus q prime over 2. But then you see that the sum over the center of mass, this sum, what does it do? This sum only appears here, right? This only depends on the difference. The difference is at the end, but the sum only appears here. So when I sum over the center of mass, I just set the same story as before. So this sum sets this combination to 0. So it sets Q to be equal to minus Q prime to be equal to minus Q. Right? Do you agree? So that's what the sum over this, over the sum does. And so, when we do it, this factor then becomes, this factor becomes exponential of I r minus r prime, which is what we are now summing over, times q. Right? Because q prime is just minus q. Okay? And so, you see what I did here? We did one sum. So we did, by doing this arrow here, what I'm saying is that we are doing the sum over the center of mass. And by this thing, we are saying that we are also doing the sum over Q prime, right? Because the sum over R gives a delta function, and then the sum over Q prime just sets Q prime equal to minus Q. So we got rid of two sums, and therefore the result is, let's copy it, it's equal to 1/2 sum over the remaining Fourier modes, sum over the separation, let's call it delta R. And then we have A of delta R e to the I Q times delta R. This I can put a parenthesis because delta R only enters here. And then there is S Q S Q prime, which is minus Q. No, the V disappears when we do this sum, right? The sum sets Q equal Q prime and multiplies by V, like before. So the V drops in this sum, right? So sets Q and kills V. And so what is this quantity here? This quantity, the full thing, is the definition of the Fourier transform is A, but in Fourier space, Q. Right, let's put the head. That's the definition. Right? I sum over delta R, I sum over R, e to the I, Q. That's the definition of the Fourier transform. And therefore, my final Hamiltonian is equal to just 1/2 sum over Fourier modes Q, Fourier transform of whatever my interaction is times absolute value of Q squared. So that's what our Hamiltonian is.
But wouldn't that be like a different Fourier transform from the one that we did before? Because the inverse of that Fourier transform would express A as an integral over A hat. Well, the Fourier transform that we had before expresses S as a sum over S hat. That had been like the inverse Fourier transform.
Not sure I understand what you are objecting. So this Fourier transform as its inverse, what we wrote before.
Yeah, I'm saying that A, if you try to express then A as a function of A hat, you would have A equals the integral of something A hat, right?
No.
No?
No. That's wrong. You would have A equal exactly the same expression I wrote, 1 over volume, 1 over square root of volume, sum over Q, A times E to the...
Oh, because Q is... Yeah. Excuse.
Okay. So this is the expression. So we need a bunch of algebra, but what's key, the key observation, is that we start with an Hamiltonian where different positions are coupled explicitly, right? We have different degrees of freedom coupled to each other, right? Different positions are talking to each other. And the key thing is that here we get an Hamiltonian, which is the sum of an energy per Fourier mode. So they are all decoupled. So we solve the problem by just reducing it to a bunch of L squared, totally independent degrees of freedom. Right? The Hamiltonian is energy of Fourier mode Q1 plus energy of Fourier mode Q2 plus energy of Fourier mode Q3, and they just don't talk to each other. Just for each Fourier mode, this is the energy. Right? So that's the key thing. By translation invariance, you trivialize the interaction between modes, and whereas in position, different positions are coupled, in Fourier modes, each mode is independent. I have mode 1, mode 2, mode 3, and they just don't talk to each other, right? So that's the key thing about going to Fourier. Right? So now, Here in this language, we have L to the D. There are, remember, this Q has L to the D options. So we have L to the D decoupled degrees of freedom. So the energy is just for each Q, that's the energy. By the way, let's just let's specialize if you want. In our example, right? We have A there. It's a delta, a Kronecker delta, and so on. So we can compute this A hat. So let's compute this A hat. A hat of Q is equal. Well, delta R, when delta R is zero, we get U, right? And when delta R is plus or minus one, we get plus. It can be up, down, it can be all possible directions. So plus T sum over mu, that can be any direction. And also we sum over plus minus E to the plus minus Q mu. Right? That's just multiplying by e to the I Q that delta R. Delta R is equal to 1 when delta R is e mu or minus e mu. And so we get this, which is, if you want, U plus 2T sum over mu cosine of Q mu. Okay, so that's the Q we are getting. And now we can compute a partition function, because the partition function now is just the integral over the product of over Q. And now let's be a little bit careful. Let's say that it's product over Q, but now we have D of the real part of SQ, because now Q is real, and also D of imaginary part of SQ. But you see Q positive and negative, if I change Q to minus Q, this is invariant and this is odd, right? This is even and this is odd, so it's not a new degree of freedom. So I sum over Q belonging to half Brillouin zone. So I don't need to sum over, I choose half Brillouin zone, the other half I get by Q and minus Q. Right? Because minus Q is just the same. It's not a new degree of freedom, right? If you know SQ, S minus Q is just S conjugate. Okay. So that's just for half. So here there are L to the D, everything divided by 2. Elements, right? Sorry, is it like this that I want to say, or do I want to put over two? So I have
So that last argument, is it because SQ, S minus Q is SQ star, or?
Yeah. S minus Q is S star, right? So
in terms of real degrees of freedom, it's the same.
It's the same number of degrees of freedom. It's just because there is imaginary and real part. So there are 2 degrees of freedom. So the product should go over half. So that in total, we have L to the D degrees of freedom. Just not to miss anyone. It's okay? Okay, so this is the integration. And then we have exponential of the action. And the action is minus summation over Q.
Of this function A of Q, and then absolute value square, which is just real part of SQ square plus imaginary part of SQ square. And here we can say that we sum over Q belonging to also a half of the Brillouin zone, and the by summing the other half gives the same thing, and it cancels the one half that was there. Okay. Now, this is an integration variable. You call it, this is like y, this is like x. Right? And then here I have dx, and here I have dy. So both the integrals give the same thing, right? Exactly the same integral. So I can write this as, let me see if you allow me to do this. Let me write this as the integral. X and y, each of them give the same thing. So I use them to convert into an integral d over, product over Q belonging again to the full Brillouin zone, right? Let me call the integration value dxq. Xq is real. I call it x exponential of minus sum over Q aq xq squared. Right. So I just completed into the full sum, and that's it. But now, as we said, these are all independent, right? This is a sum of, this is a sum, so this is just all independent. So this is equal to the product over Q belonging to the Brillouin zone of each integral dxq e to the minus A of Q, X, Q squared.
Shouldn't there be a square, whole square? Because we're doing it twice, right?
In fact, because this is now a product over integrals, I don't even need the index. I can just put like, sorry?
We're doing this integral twice, right? So shouldn't be a square of over this result.
We are doing the integral twice, made it Q into the full Brillouin zone. I'm still a bit puzzled by the one half. There should be a one half. Did I forget a one half? Probably I forgot a one half.
Yeah? But I thought because there were two terms, one for each, and I would get rid of this one half.
The Q for the in the second to last quality inside the exponential, is that over the full Brillouin?
Yeah. So the final expression we have now is that the partition function is equal to a product over each mode, and for each mode I get this object that we could call partition function for Fourier mode Q. And they are all independent.
So where did the sum over Q go from your...
Here, sum over Q is product, and they are all independent, so I can take the product outside, right?
And that's sum over Q, that's over...
Sum over Q in the exponent is product outside.
Yeah, and it's the full zone. Yeah.
Good point. If it's the full zone, I should put a 1/2. That's the point. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you. Yes, because indeed, here is an integral, here is another integral, and that's the fundamental integral, and that's half the zone. I completed the full zone, I should put the 1/2. Very good. Help, thank you. Good, I like it. Okay, so this is the final result. Again, Z is a product over each moment in the brilliant zone of a partition function that just depends on this mode. So it's really factorization of degrees of freedom. And this is just equal to this quantity here, which is a Gaussian integral. So that's our result. That's why it's called a Gaussian model. It's just a Gaussian integral at the end. So let's put a box here and let's compute this a little bit more explicitly.
Could you change the sum in the exponent?
The sum in the exponent is a product outside, right? This sum gets out here and becomes a product. And these integrals are all independent. It's just a product of integrals, right? It's integral dx, dy, dz, exponential of f of x plus f of y plus f of z, it's just product of integrals.
And then what happens to this product in the...
It's here.
But this product was already there before.
Yeah, there are two products.
There are two products.
Yeah. Product of I, f of x, I, product of I, g of x, I, product of I, f of x, I, g of x, I.
I don't understand why, when you summed the two, you went from a half to a full Brillouin zone, but you still added an extra half. I don't really get
it. Okay, so let's do it a little bit slower. So, first of all, the integrals are all independent, right? And what is the fundamental, the integral we have to do? It's this one. Half Brillouin zone, a times x squared dx. That's the integral we have to do, right? X squared and full Brillouin zone. And half Brillouin zone. So you can put, but that's the same. This sum over half Brillouin zone is the same as sum of full Brillouin zone with the 1/2. That's it.
Where's the other term?
What happened with the y?
Yeah.
No, the y and the x integrals, because they are exactly the same, they're just integration variables, I used it to convert the product here over half Brillouin zone to a full product over the Brillouin zone. Right, I took an x and a y, and I put them, now it's a full Brillouin zone. I mean, normally, we would do this much faster, right? It's just, I go to Fourier, and I just write the Fourier model. I was just being very careful with the reality conditions. So in the intermediate steps, we get this real and imaginary part floating around, which is painful. But at the end, they group nicely, and they just double as they should. So it is just, for example, you could have used, instead of exponential, we could have used cosines and sines. Then everything is real from the beginning. There's no imaginary condition or reality condition. But then you need to deal with orthogonality of cosines and sines. And okay, so exponentials makes orthogonality totally trivial, but reality conditions are a bit more painful, and you need to make sure that you have the right reality condition. Right? But again, we could decompose the fields as cosine and sine with coefficients AQ and BQ, and then there would be L over 2 of each type. Okay, so this is the final result. Anyway, if you understand the logic, it is just decomposing Fourier modes. After decomposing Fourier modes, positions that were coupled become modes, Fourier modes that are decoupled, and that's the final result. But you can also, for example, we chose this Brillouin zone from minus pi to pi. You can derive in another Brillouin zone with cosines and sines. You will get the same story. It will be the same thing at the end. Okay. So that's the full expression. So now we want to compute this partition function, z, for a single mode q. Right? So what is this z for a single mode? And this z for a single mode, you see, if you rescale x by 1 over square root of a, you get rid of a, it just gets out. So this is equal to 1 over square root of a of q. times the integral after I rescale x, which is just dx, e to the minus x squared over. Now this integral, it's possible to compute, it's some square root of pi, but you will do it in the tutorial. Yeah? With the two pi. But that is not important, because this integral here, for the purpose of what we are doing, this integral is just normalization, but this is what is important. So it means that z, z is what? It's the product of such square roots. So it's the product over Q belonging to the Brillouin zone of 1 over square root of A of Q. And some normalization, which is just a bunch of 2 pi. So this is the partition function. Z, for each Fourier mode, I get 1 over the Fourier transform of my coupling between spins, of the main coupling between spins. And that means that Z, if I define F as usual, the Fourier energy, to be minus logarithm of Z, right? Then what is this? This f is equal, I take minus and take log, I get 1/2, do you agree? Of summation over all q's belonging to the Brillouin zone of log of a of q, but a of q we computed was just u plus T sum of cosine of Q mu, right? Maybe with some 2. And we are summing over Q that go from minus pi to pi in steps of 1 over L. Right? So this sum, can I continue writing here?
I think so.
Yeah? This sum is approximately equal. The sum over Q becomes an integral d dq over 2 pi to the d times the volume. That's what the sum over Q is becoming, right? Because we are, and we integrate over Q in a Brillouin zone. You see that this integral gives 1, and then this gives V. And V is the number of degrees of freedom, so it's okay, the normalization. Time logarithm of U plus 2T sum of cosine of Q. And so let's put another box here. F equal, approximately equal. So this expression here. Because this is familiar, right? This is exactly what is over there, where f is exactly the integral, if you just re-identify the constants a little bit, up to an overall constant that we don't care, it's exactly the same type of expression. Very good. Right? Even with the 1/2, the volume, the integral, so it's really exactly the same thing as before. So we are getting f, we are getting that is the same as in the closed loop exercise. But here for now just mathematics, right? We're just doing a computation and seeing that amusingly the result is exactly the same. But for now we have spin model with interactions between any points, and we have random walks that go around and close, and we look and look, and it's the same. Look left, look right, and it's the same.
Can you explain again the approximation to go from the sum to the integral?
It's that's L large.
Okay.
saw here. It is just the only approximation I use here is L large. This is true. The first expression is true when L is 6.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Our lattice can be 6 by 6. Then there, it's when L is macroscopic.
Yeah.
Right? Then the sum becomes an integer. Yeah. So this is exact, right? This is, I think it's important to emphasize. There's no thermodynamic limit. This is okay for L equals 6. Okay, so that's it. So that could be that's one computation. Now let's do the other computation that is there. So we computed Z. Let's compute that expectation value of spin 0 and spin R. Okay, so it's good. So let's compute the expectation value of S at 0, S at R. Well, but this is just 1 over the volume, summation over Q, summation over Q prime, e to the I Q prime R prime, right? R is 0, Q prime R, right? This one is at the origin, so I don't get it. Expectation value of S Q as Q prime. In other words, this is just real part of S Q times real part of S Q prime plus minus imaginary part of SQ, imaginary part of SQ prime. So we see that this expectation value here, if Q is not equal to Q prime, the modes are decoupled, so it becomes expectation value of this guy times expectation value of this guy. Do you agree? But then it's 0 by parity, because it's an even function. Similarly here, if Q prime and Q are unrelated to each other, then this is product of averages, and we just have a Gaussian, which is an even function, and we average something linear, it's 0. So we see right away that this result is 0 unless, so this here, just from this expression, is 0 unless Q is minus Q prime, or we could think, but it's not true, Q equal to Q prime. Right? Clearly, unless Q is related to Q prime, this is going to be 0 down here, right? But actually, the second one, when they are equal, it's also 0, because if they are equal, I get expectation value of real part squared, and the expectation value of imaginary part square, they give the same, right? Because the average has absolute value, which is the sum of squares, but there is a minus sign. So then you get 0 as well, right? So this one actually knows. So the only option is really Q prime needs to be equal to minus Q. Otherwise, the result is 0. And that's the usual thing. It's when you have translation invariance, you have conservation of momenta, in the sense that the sum of momenta needs to be equal to 0. Yes?
Why do the cross terms go to 0, or do they cancel out?
Because the terms which are not, when Q prime is not equal to Q min, it's just product of averages, but each average is zero.
No, I mean the real and the imaginary cross terms, right?
Sorry, when Q prime is minus Q? When Q prime is minus Q, they double. This guy gives the same as this.
No, I was just thinking like, you know, we're expressing this in terms of real and imaginary, right? So, and Q is not equal to
Q. Yeah. You're right. Plus cross terms. Cross terms are manifestly zero by symmetry. Right? Because we are averaging real part square plus imaginary part square. So each cross term is manifestly zero. So these terms don't matter. Okay. Again, we could just take this expression, plug it. Where are we? Plug it here, right? So we just plug it here. Right? And then you see that explicitly, unless Q and Q prime are the same, this is X squared. Here there would be X, zero. Right? Therefore, they need to be opposite to each other. So Q prime needs to be equal to Q. So this is equal to 1 over V. Sum just over Q, e to the I Q dot R times the expectation value of S Q with S minus Q, which is just S Q squared. So that means that we want to compute this expectation value of SQ square. The expectation value of SQ square, if this is SQ, so this is equal to this quantity here, this average. Is equal to it just depends on free amount Q. And it is just the expectation value of x squared in the partition function of Fourier mode Q. And therefore, all we have to do is compute this ratio of integrals. Right? If I rescale x by a, before here I got 1 over square root, here I will get 1 over a to the power 3 halves. So in total, this thing here is a number that you will learn how to compute times 1 over a of Q. Just by rescaling f. And therefore, the full result, this quantity here, that's what we conclude, that this quantity is a number times 1 over a of q. That's the result of the two-point function in Fourier space. And therefore, the full result, if I continue here, let's write it here. Actually, no, I'll write it there. And therefore, we conclude here, up here, let's write here, that the expectation value of S of 0, S of R, is equal up to a constant. So there is some constant. Let's call this constant N. And then there is summation over Q in the Brillouin zone. E to the I Q dot R divided by A of Q, which is approximately equal, again, when N is large, when L is large, to N times the integral d dQ over 2 pi to the d, E to the I Q QR times A, and A is this quantity, U plus 2T sum of cosine of Q mu minus 1. Right? 1 over that. And this quantity, if I was able, I would put a box because that's exactly equal to the partition function that we wrote over here. So I'll put a box in this one, I'll put an arrow in this one instead. So not only we got that the free energy is a free energy of the wall, we got that this correlation function is exactly equal to this expression. So the two quantities there, the free energy matches with the expression without the box, and the box matches with the other expression without the box, right? So right now, it's like we are solving the Gaussianizing models. We see that this is the correlation function. And now you see that the correlation function takes the same expression. So all the mathematics that we did before, we can reuse. So now I go there and I use the same mathematics, but with the different words. Now I say this box is the correlation function of two spins in the Gaussianizing model. It behaves like this at large distances, and it decays exponentially at really asymptotic distance. Right? So we are learning that in the Ising model, it decays exponentially. But now this M, before, was related to some diffusion parameters of the random walk. Now, we get the same expression. This is the same. Right? We get the same, but now, for example, M squared is T over U, for example. Whereas before, M squared was related to mu and D, the parameters of the random walk. Right? So, of course, the mapping of parameters changes a bit, right? Now, we get that this M squared is related to our hopping interaction and our repulsion interaction. But otherwise, we get that the correlation functions of these random walks or the correlation function of Gaussian spins is the same. And we get that the free energy of Gaussian model is equal to the free energy of closed random walks. Okay? So next time, right, we explain, we will understand why. So that's where we'll start next time. I will finish a bit earlier today. I think it's okay. If you want to ask, do you have any questions about Gaussian integrations? I think it's a good point to stop.
The correlation function is not a real function in general.
Sorry?
The correlation function is not in general a real function.
Here it is, right? Because the spins are real. It's a real experiment, right? It's a real system where at each side I have a spin that can take a real number.
The Fourier exponent don't mess that up or not? Well, I guess it's
no, because for each q there is a minus q.
Right.
So that integral, I can replace that exponential. That's a good question. So let's see, why is this real? Because this function is even. This domain of integration is even.
Right.
So the odd part of this part is projected out. So I can replace this by cosine, and everything is manifestly real.
What can we generate with it?
We can generate many things. For example, we can generate all the information about the paths. Normally we say a generating function is a function that I construct by adding some extra parameter, in this case mu, that was not there. And now by looking at different powers of mu, I learn about different probabilities. So I had a big table of probabilities, and I construct a function with all these probabilities that has all this information at once. That's what's called a generating function. It generates all this information. So it's a way of encapsulating. Just you go from T to mu. So in the homework, you will see that this, we did it in a very pedestrian way, we said, I have some translation invariants, I go to Fourier, things should work out, you cross your fingers, indeed, everything worked out, it just factorized, everything became decoupled and so on. And you can just go to Fourier and everything works and you don't need to think much. But this is a particular case of a much more general case. We started with an integral that was Gaussian. It was a vector, a big matrix, and another vector, right? And those integrals we can solve in general, right? We know how to solve Gaussian integration in general. So there should be a formula that tells me, that goes from the, I wrote the starting, the definition, and I could jump directly to that box. I wrote the definition, and I should be able to jump directly to the propagator, which is this correlation function. Indeed, of course, there is such thing, and that's what you're going to learn in the homework. There is a procedure whenever you have a Gaussian integration, the two-point function are immediately related to the quadratic form, in this case, A. And it's not a particular case that the two-point function is related to the inverse of A, to 1 over A. That's a theorem. It's always true. Correlation functions and Gaussian models are always related to the inverse of A. And so you will put this in a more general perspective. So I really suggest that you go through all these factors in Fourier. But then when you do the homework, you will see another perspective where you just need a Gaussian model is a Gaussian. So I can solve using this more general formalism that allows me to understand any Gaussian integration. Okay? Then we will go back to Gaussian integration by the end of next week. But in the beginning now, we have, our mission is to understand what's going on and why are we getting these two different models, spin models and random logs, why are we getting the same result? Okay, have a nice weekend.